Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where money matters become conversation starters. Let's get talking. Welcome, Money Buddies, to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and today we're talking about work-life balance and how you can work on having a better one. This is something I've been wanting to talk about on the podcast for a while, so I am very excited for today's conversation. I know we'll all be able to learn something from this one that'll help us enjoy work better and enjoy our life better when we find that good balance. So often there's pressures of a fast-paced work environment, or the glamour of work and the grind shown on social media that makes us feel like we have to work more than we want to. Have you ever been made a salary employee just to find out that your hourly rate is now less than it was? Those sort of things are a huge striking point of why people want to achieve a work-life balance. It's quite the game we have to play with our jobs to ensure we're taking care of our own time. So how do you set those boundaries and find a good work-life balance? Well, let's stop wasting time with today's intro and let's get on to today's episode so you can learn from today's Money Buddy. Today's Money Buddy is Warren Miles Pickup. Warren Miles Pickup is the CMO, COO of Pixel True, Pixel Copy, and Pixel Publishing. He helps SaaS founders and e-commerce entrepreneurs and startups scale through strategic design, branding, and content marketing. The money talking points for this week are, how is your work-life balance? 2, how can you have a better work-life balance? And 3, what does work-life balance mean to you? With the money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today is Warren Miles Pickup, and I'm excited for this conversation today. We're going to talk about something that really applies to everybody, and that is work-life balance. Warren, to get us started off here, can you introduce yourself for everybody?
Sure, happy to. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Again, Warren Miles Pickup. I worked in finance, teaching financial advisors and doing high net worth financial planning, asset management for over 15 years. Wound up leaving that because of a lack of work-life balance, and am now an entrepreneur that owns my own design agency, copywriting agency, and self-publishing agency. Made the transition because the conversation we're talking about today was so important to me that I needed something that allowed me to be home with my kids and with my wife. I wanted to find more joy out of what I was doing, and that's what led to the transition.
Awesome. And yesterday was Family Day, so you spent that with your family, and I don't think you would have done this transition if that wasn't important. Lots of great conversations I'm sure are going to come from this, because I've had episodes in the past talking about burnout and other elements that play into this, but I'm excited to dive more specifically into work-life balance. To kick it off, let's talk about why it's necessary, especially for my audience being mostly young adults or people early in their career. Why is this necessary to even consider?
Yeah, there's a number of reasons, but I would say burnout is probably the number one reason. It's something that I see a lot of people come up against. I certainly faced it early on in my career. I have made a couple of career choices based on avoiding burnout. When I first started off in finance, I was working with a firm and I was putting in about 16 hours a day. When I spoke with the president of the company, he said, "Well, you're just going to have to work harder." And I said, "Well, there's no way I can do
the
that.
The other 8 hours are for sleep." Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was in the position where I was about to get married, and I said to that gentleman, "You know, if I do that, my fiance at the time is going to leave me. She's not going to appreciate this." And he said, "Well, when you get married, she has to realize that your work comes first and your family comes second."
Wow.
Needless to say, the next day I showed up with a resignation letter, and I was gone from that organization. I think the importance of avoiding burnout is to be able to enjoy your life. But the other part is to maintain balanced and valuable relationships in your life. You can build some great relationships at the workplace, but there are those individuals outside of your work that help you become a well-rounded person. And if you miss out on a lot of that, and your life essentially becomes incomplete by missing out on all the other pieces, whether it be cultural or social or anything else that is going to provide you with that holistic framework for becoming a whole person.
One of the thoughts that came to my mind initially as you were talking there, that a resignation letter is a whole lot easier in terms of paperwork than divorce paperwork.
Much easier. It costs a whole lot less too.
Yeah, it's pretty much free. You just open up Google Docs, write it out, and maybe cost you a couple cents in ink versus thousands of dollars in stress. But that's a crazy story to kick us off here. You were put in that position, it sounded very early in life, and you had to make
that decision quickly. I was 25 years old, and I was getting married a month after that. Wow. I got married unemployed, and it wasn't for another 2 months that I found another job. So I have a feeling that my wife, who is still my wife, was questioning who she had married, this unemployed deadbeat that had quit his job so that he could spend more time with her.
Hey, I think that goes in your favor a whole lot easier than the, hey, I need to work 17, 18 hours a day and you never get to see each other. So the work, you can always find another job, but getting married and everything is so much harder. So
it is much more difficult.
Let's continue down this track of why is work-life balance beneficial towards your career longevity? You mentioned burnout, but how does that help in the long run of your career and work?
Well, having balance and setting boundaries creates realistic expectations for all the other people that are around you. It ensures that they understand they need to show respect for the time that you want to take to perform other activities. In addition, there's a lot of networking that comes from doing things outside of your workplace that can benefit you and whatever company you're working for over the long run. You're a significantly more productive individual when you are not burnt out, when you are engaged, when you're passionate, when that altruism of purpose for your career still stands out without you being overwhelmed by tasks and obligations. Overall, it's just a much better way of working when you've balanced it all out.
Yeah, it just makes it a whole lot easier. I think it's really beneficial for me doing this podcast as well as my regular job, scheduling in days off, like time off from my podcast as well as time off from work. I'm completely separated from that. I don't look at it. Any emails that come in get ignored because it's going to be okay. Once you get to a good work-life balance, that sort of stuff can wait. You're not so worried or pressed about it all the time. And I think there's articles and articles out there that paint the red flags or warning flags towards burnout and bad work-life balance. What are some things people can look forward to or those good signs of a good, healthy work-life balance?
People that respect your desire to have time off, people that wish you well on taking time off. They're not guilting you for it. They're saying, enjoy your vacation, hope you come back refreshed. Individuals that are offering for you to take time away from the workplace, they're saying, hey, you've been working really hard, take this extra day off. People that are trying to find other things that you're passionate about and support that. I've had a number of employees through my career. And one of my employees, when I was working in finance, wanted to be a model. And so we ensured that she had the time to do her other passions, to do modeling gigs and to travel, because we knew that if she was able to balance what she wanted to do from a passion perspective with what she wanted to do on a day-to-day workplace perspective, she came back much more engaged and cared a lot more about what she was doing and what we were doing because there was mutual concern for each other's personal lives.
Yeah, when there's a healthy separation in terms of hobbies and passions, like you said, that the employer almost encourages people to do, like my podcast here at my job, I've done a handful of webinars for the people we serve in my business. And that's a really cool crossover that keeps me motivated to do the rest of my job. I like that sign that people are going to respect and almost encourage you to do other things that take up your time. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. One of the things that I caught that you mentioned was that you were 25, you were working a ton. And I think so often at that age of life, you're coming out of college. And so now you have less time commitments in terms of homework and things like that. So maybe you're like, what else do I have to put my time towards other than work? But that can lead to you feeling like you can only contribute more time. You can never scale it back. There's a fast-paced workplace that's putting pressure on these young employees that are just coming out of college. What kind of pressure does that put on us? How does that make us feel when that environment is trying to keep us going super fast?
Oh, it's stifling. Absolutely stifling. All your creativity gets stifled. It's just about output constantly. And that takes all of your passion and creativity out of what you're doing. You wind up just becoming a cog within a machine rather than being able to offer something constructive to the organization you're working with. I would definitely be watching out for organizations that treat you like that cog in a machine where they're trying to squeeze every dollar out of you. A proper workplace when you're in your early to mid 20s should be looking to see how they can help you to advance as quickly as possible, not necessarily to get every dollar out of you, but instead to say, how can we invest in you and make you the best that you could possibly be? How can we help you to grow so that you can make the best out of this? Because those are going to be the individuals that stay with you as a company, or are the ones that are receiving a lot more value out of the business than the business is extracting out of them.
Yeah, there's a reason why those sort of call centers or cold call kind of jobs are so, I guess, demoralizing for people, is because, like you said, that's just that them trying to squeeze as much money out of you in terms of revenue. And it puts a lot of pressure on people. Versus, I think those kind of jobs can be beneficial to people if there is an element of, hey, let's work on new processes, new scripts, or new ways that we're doing things instead of the same thing every single day.
Yeah, that's a great agree. Those types of jobs where you are working in a call center, or you're having to do something repetitive, I think those position you well for parts of your life where you are going to have to do things incredibly repetitively. That's just a part of life.
It'll happen, yes.
But being able to go into a workplace where you actually enjoy it, whether it's because of your colleagues or the respect that the workplace has for your personal life, or they are inspiring you and offering opportunities to grow. I started off working with an investment management company in 2009. It was outbound phone calls to financial advisors, sitting behind a desk, picking up the phone and dialing. But the individuals that I worked with, particularly my boss, was inspiring, and he was constantly challenging me to improve without necessarily being on top of me about how many calls did you make, how many sales did you make. It was more about how can you improve, what are the things that you can go out and learn to be better at what you're doing. That's where I started learning about all kinds of things like education-based sales and different sales techniques. It was an incredible experience. I would work my 8 hours a day. He would make sure that everybody left. He would take us out for lunches, and he wanted families to be involved. To this day, he was the best boss I have ever had. I look back at that with such fondness for the time that I was working with him. And that's what I think we should all be aspiring for, is working with people that are going to be vested in our own success.
Yeah, that's such an awesome story. I like the way that you painted that. There's still so much opportunity for people to have creativeness in those positions that maybe don't always have that. So I love that, especially for anyone who's listening that is maybe managing a team of people.
Yeah.
And make sure you're putting in elements of that so that people are staying engaged and enjoying it. But also another place that things get kind of portrayed as this greatness is social media. And that's where that sort of grind and hustle can be like, I'm up at 6 a.m. going to work and you're coming home at 8 p.m. People tend to sensationalize that on social media. How does that influence our perception or our views on work-life balance?
Yeah, it becomes a personality type, right? And and that's very dangerous. You can do it for a while, but you will burn out. The individuals that are doing that tend to be working in industries where it's kind of a flash in the pan. It's boom bust, where they have intense periods of success and then failure because of either health issues or a change in the marketplace. Or I mean, that is a real concern. I'm not in my mid-20s anymore. You know, I'm in my 40s. So that type of stress, if I were working 16 hours a day, neglecting my body, not getting exercise, all those sorts of things, it is going to have very long-lasting health effects. The individual who says they're waking up at 6 and working till 8, you know, maybe they're doing that one day a week.
Yeah.
There's all kinds that are lying. The ones that are doing it inevitably will be more financially successful, because the more time you put into something, the better you're going to get at it. But there is a huge downside to that as well. They're detracting from the rest of their life massively. It's an incredible trade-off. Rather than doing that, you know, the work smarter rather than harder mentality is a good one. But you need to appreciate the non-monetary value of other things in your life. If you ascribe a dollar value to the time that you spend socializing with friends and family, you can then justify that in terms of substituting it for time in the office. I put a very high monetary value on the time that I spend with my wife and kids. A lot of the time, it outvalues what I'm getting from putting in that extra hour in the office. And so I would rather do that when those situations come up.
And the thing is, you're never going to be able to prescribe a truly accurate dollar amount. But if you're putting $20 an hour on your time with your friends and making $30 an hour at your job, it's pretty easy that your mind is going to naturally want to go towards that more valuable thing because that's the way you're positioning yourself. But if you tell yourself it's $50 or $100 an hour to hang out with my friends, your mind's going to naturally direct you towards that, whether you're making money or not. It's a trick you can almost play on yourself to help set some of those boundaries. I really like that, especially with family, especially to make those relationships valuable.
Yeah, and a lot of those relationships may not be valuable in the immediate time frame, but over the mid and long term, those relationships are going to develop out new business relationships for you. They're going to be referrals. They're going to be important people that save you or make you money over your lifetime because of things that they're able to do with you. Some of my friends have gotten involved in other businesses that have wound up assisting me in launching businesses, or relationships that they have with other people have become new clients of mine. And that's because I spent time developing those relationships and building that familiarity and being an enjoyable person to be around. That's one of the biggest challenges. If all you do is grind, people don't want to be around you if all you're going to do is talk about the 14 hours a day that you put in at work.
One of the thoughts that I am thinking about is one of my previous episodes. We talked about how everything compounds, because compound interest is like the main thing people talk about when it comes to finance.
Yeah.
But your relationships compound. Like you said, that $20 an hour relationship over time is going to be maybe a $200 an hour relationship, whereas your job isn't getting anywhere near that kind of a raise.
That's
so
right.
Those sort of things, everything compounds. And it can be super important to establish these boundaries. How do we start to set up these boundaries? We've talked a lot about how people can have a good relationship or some of the benefits of it, but how do you actually put that line in the sand and begin to establish it?
Philosophically, it's about understanding the value of those different activities and assigning that value so that you can justify to yourself where you're going to be spending your time. Mm-hmm. From a practical perspective, time blocking is one of the most valuable skills you can ever learn. It's setting out your schedule in terms of how much time do I need to spend each day doing these different activities, blocking them off, and then avoiding distractions during those times so that you can be as efficient as possible during each time block. Having said that, some people just aren't able to follow that. There are a lot of methods, but using productivity tools is a really good one. Setting a hard stop for yourself on when you want to be done each day, when you want to move on with other valuable activities in your life, is a really good way to do it.
Yeah, and time blocking, it's something that's kind of stuck with me. It's mostly been, for me, something that helps me switch activities and say, okay, this one is coming up. I still have a hard time not getting distracted, so everyone listening to this, like, I talk to all these different people on my podcast and I still struggle with some of these tips. Don't think you have to be perfect, but even just maintaining a basic calendar is so helpful, whether you spend an hour or 2 hours on something or not. Just having a general idea of how your day is going to go. My work is on my calendar from 7 to 4, and whether I'm actually, it might be 8:30 to 5 one day or something like that, it might shift slightly, but I have a hard stop in there that my calendar is going to begin to look at other things after a certain time period.
Just and you should be blocking in your personal things as well to ensure that your work doesn't overlap with them. Whether it's, you know, Dungeons and Dragons or whether it's sports or anything like that, those are blocked in my calendar so that I ensure that nothing gets put over top of it. I have certain activities that are blocked in my calendar that I may not necessarily get to that day, but it's in there as a reminder so that nothing else can be booked over top of it as well.
Yeah, you easily move those to the next day. Like, if you truly didn't get to them because life comes up, like, that's okay. Yeah. You're not going to be perfect to any of these productivity tools, even though they preach this bliss of a productivity-centered life. It's not going to be perfect, so you can always adjust and adapt.
Fantastic. Absolutely. I got off one meeting this morning, and then I knew I had this podcast recording with you, but I got a phone call from my daughter's school saying that I needed to run a skating helmet over to the school. Normally, that time is blocked off for me to send out sales emails. Instead, that sales emails get deferred to later today, and I run off to go take a helmet to school. Yeah. So yeah, perfection is a fallacy. You're much better off doing good than perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you shoot for perfect, you're just going to wind up finding yourself frustrated. You're going to have that poor work-life balance where you're trying to be so rigid with it that you end up giving in too many ways. But I like that. We could honestly probably talk forever about calendars. I love them and productivity tools. But let's bring it back to work-life balance. And I want to talk about one very powerful word when it comes to our work lives, and that's the word no. What kind of power does that bring to the table in our work?
Oh, so much. It's incredibly important and only becomes more important as you get further in your career. Mm. Particularly when you're younger, there's an expectation that you will say yes. Maybe I'm not a great example of this and I struggle with it because I have always sworn that I will not have a no first culture in my business. I advocate for the abolishment of the word no, but I do believe that in terms of personal boundaries, no is a very important word. Setting those boundaries as to what you will and will not do is very important, whether it's client facing or when something needs to get done. The response isn't, no, I'm not going to do that. It's, sure, I can get that done, but here's when I can get it done. I can get that done, but here's the time frame that I'm going to be able to get it done in. Yeah. I think that's a much better way to handle things than outright, nope, not going to do it, because I think that puts a point of contention between yourself and whoever you may be talking to. I think there's better ways to be able to communicate those boundaries than hard stops.
Yeah, I would agree. I like the way you painted that picture there. Does it ever feel comfortable to say just flat out no? There's a reason for
not
that.
Not unless somebody has really pissed you off.
Stepped over. Yeah, they've stepped over the boundaries a lot.
That's right.
And you're like, no, get out of here with that. But
yeah,
most of the times you want to keep relationships in good favor. You don't want to cause contention. So I like that of saying, yes, here's the expectation, or yes, here's my boundary. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even saying, yes, let's work together and split this workload or collaborate with someone else on a team. Like if you're in a department or something like that, maybe it's something that can be delegated and your manager can help you with that. So that goes back to setting those correct boundaries so that you don't just have to say, no, we're not going to do that, or no, I'm not going to help you, because then that just creates contention. So
yeah,
I like that discussion there, but no can be a very valuable word, especially if you are being pushed over, like your job where it's saying you need to work more and you're saying I'm getting married. That's a hard no.
Yeah,
I'm quitting. I'm done here. So there is a place for it, but I like the comparison there.
Yeah, I have a meeting one morning every week with a client, and they talk to some of my team on the call. It goes from 6 until 7:30, but at 7 o'clock, I have a hard stop every day to help get the kids out of the house and off to school. Even if the conversation is ongoing and I'm involved in it, everybody on the call knows at 7 o'clock, Warren is going to depart because he has a hard stop to spend time with his kids and get them off to school. Everybody has learned to respect that. They don't ask me to stay on just another minute because the answer is, I'm sorry, I can't do that. If you'd like to continue the conversation, you can set a time in my calendar for later today.
It's not a hard no of you being rude and saying I gotta
go. These are the expectations. This is how it's going to work.
That's awesome. Yeah. And once you can get to that, like we said earlier, what are the good signs of a work-life balance? People respect that time. If they have something that's urgent, they're bringing it up at the beginning of the meeting. They're not waiting till the end to say, oh, can you stay on for a few more minutes?
That's right.
That sort of stuff just becomes a whole lot easier. But
yeah,
let's move into some of the caution flags so that people can begin to recognize some of the ways that their work-life balance may be going in the wrong direction, or how they can work on keeping a good balance. What are some of those warning flags that people need to be aware of when it comes to work-life balance?
One would be when your social connections start going, oh, you're so busy. You know, are you ever
home?
Like when they start, when they start making comments to you about how busy you seem or their inability to get in touch with you, that's, you're starting to detract from those external relationships for sure. When people at work start to joke about you always being there, that's an issue. When you no longer respect your own boundaries, like when you start taking phone calls or appointments at all times of the day, that's a good sign that you're not under control of your schedule. When you don't have any time blocking, like you don't know when your day is going to end, when you don't know when it's going to start, that's a big problem. Your work-life balance is probably out of control. I would say if you're sending emails after 7 o'clock at night, your work-life balance has gotten a little twisted. Yeah. Yeah, you need to cut that back because nobody wants to receive those emails at that time of night.
No.
Like France did something right with saying you cannot contact people externally, you know, after 5 p.m. You can't email your employees or anything like that, because we do need to have that time to build those relationships and for that work-life balance.
For anyone who does have a good work-life balance, schedule your emails for the next morning to save the other person the stress. I love doing that, especially if I'm sending something at 4 p.m. I'm like, I don't need a response to this in the next hour. So I'll just schedule it for 8 a.m. because then the person doesn't have to think about it. If they have the notifications turned on their phone for some weird reason, they don't see it because it's not coming through till the next morning.
Yeah.
Then
you're not putting yourself in a position where you're obligated to respond to them that evening as well. Right? Because they've responded back to you at 6:30 and now you feel like you need to get back to them because you've set a precedent of communicating after hours.
Yeah. And apps like Teams and stuff like that have quiet hours built in. Turn those on and schedule messages. Build your boundaries with technology, because those are going to be forced to kept because the tool's going to keep them for you. It knows what time it is.
Exactly.
Your workers might not. That's a good red flag. If you're answering emails after hours, then you should definitely take that as a point of caution. But we talked about how a good work-life balance can help progress your career and make it go a whole lot better. How does that poor work-life balance deteriorate your career?
Yeah, employers will look at that and wonder how long you can sustain it. Mm. I certainly do when I'm looking at some of my staff that wind up putting in massive additional hours. I know that burnout is going to come, and it makes me cautious about providing them with additional responsibilities because I fear they're going to rise to a more central position, but then they're going to burn themselves out and I'm going to be left with a hole in my organization. They won't be there. Those individuals that are constantly on the hamster wheel, I'm hesitant to promote them, even though I appreciate how hard they are working, because I worry that the risk management strategy isn't there to protect my business in the event that something were to happen to them.
Yeah, that's such an interesting perspective from somebody who's managing or owning a business, that you might end up leaving yourself with a hole if you're trying to drive these like young people right out of college to promote them quickly and give them a ton of work because they have a ton of time on their hands, and then they start to get married and things like that. Now you have a vice president or an executive member that can't keep up with the demands you've given them, and now you have to rehire, which just sounds stressful because this person has all this internal knowledge. That's a great perspective for anybody listening that manages people, is make sure you're being careful with the workload you're giving them from both sides of the aisle.
Additionally, the individuals that are only spending time at work tend to have a limited scope of vision of what's going on around them. And that can be dangerous in terms of what they're bringing to the workplace. If they're not able to get an outside perspective, if they can't have empathy for the individuals that they're dealing with, if they can't bring in new ideas because they're only focused in their tunnel, they're going to be less valuable than the employee that is constantly bringing in new ideas, is coming to the table with a lot more energy, is allowing their passion to shine through rather than just their work ethic. Those are going to be the people that tend to get promoted over the ones that are just grinding all the time.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Anyone listening, there's a bunch of reasons to have a good work-life balance, because then you're going to be able to bring in that outside perspective. You're going to be able to be creative with outside ideas versus being siloed in your work. So that's fantastic in addition to what we talked about earlier. But let's talk a little bit about, maybe people don't have hobbies or interests outside of work, so they feel like they don't have anything else to do. They don't want to just sit there on their phone watching Instagram or TikTok or whatever. Why is it important to find those passion things like you talked about with the person who wanted to model? Why is it important to have those outside of work?
It gives you an education of other industries, topics, people. It allows you to utilize your empathy, and it makes you better in the workplace because you're utilizing social skills or physical skills that can then be transferred into your workplace. Somebody who's passionate about a particular activity, hobby, anything like that, is going to carry that passion through with them to everything else they do. They tend to be more positive people. They're more interesting to speak with, whether it's their client facing or internally facing. They tend to be a better part of the overall culture of the organization because they're not reliant on the organization for their identity as a person.
Yeah, I love that last one, that they're not reliant for their identity. So you're not just saying, oh, I'm a marketing specialist, and that's the only thing that you ever define yourself as, or I'm a bank teller. Yeah. You get to say, hey, I'm a model and I do finance for work, things like that. You get to like broaden your perspectives and makes you a more interesting person to be around and talk with. Like you said earlier, if you're only ever talking about work and your friends start telling you, hey, you spend too much time at work and you don't do anything else, even if it's just hanging out with your friends, that can be a good hobby to have, just to put a break in it. But I also want to talk here quickly about PTO. Why is it important for people to use PTO and actually take time off in their work-life balance?
You need to be maintaining all those outside activities, those outside relationships, even for just risk management as an individual. You know, I spent 15 years in finance. Risk management is a huge part of finance. The risk of not doing that is that you wind up having all of your relationships insulated within that organization. If you get let go or the organization shuts down, your entire world kind of collapses. Everything that you thought you were building around has now disappeared. Just like with investments, diversification is a valuable course of action. The same is true within our own personal lives. And having a diversified set of interests allows us to not be reliant on a single one to determine whether it's our identity or our happiness or our passion. You want to kind of spread that out a little bit more.
And the thing I've been learning on for these last couple interviews, and I hope everyone listening is picking up on this as well, so many of these financial principles and ideas apply to all sorts of different areas of our lives. Like I said earlier, everything compounds. You just mentioned everything needs to be diversified. So there's a whole lot of these principles that you can take and apply beyond just personal finance. And that's honestly very interesting to me, and something that I hope everyone's able to take away from this. We're coming towards the end here. Got a couple last questions that we will get to. There's one question I was going to ask about how employers and managers can support a healthy balance, but I think we've been talking about that the whole time of why it's important for employers to make sure to consider that. So if you're curious about that or you manage people, go back and listen over this episode again from that perspective. And I'm sure there's some great tips in there as well. But let's head towards the wrap up here. There's a couple questions I like to ask everyone. Of course, I'm going to ask where can people find you. But the last question to get you pondering on it is, what is one thing you wish you had known sooner when it comes to work-life balance? But first, how can people find you online?
They can find me on LinkedIn, Warren Miles Pickup. There's only like 7 Miles Pickups in the world, nice. So you won't have any trouble finding me. You can also look up my company, Pixel True. So it's pixeltrue.com, or that's on LinkedIn, Instagram, all the different places. And then in terms of, sorry, the question again was...
What's something you wish you had known sooner when it comes to work-life balance?
What's something I wish I would have known sooner? That there is no such thing as a perfect work-life balance. Mm. It is a pendulum. Just like everything else in your life, it's going to swing in both directions, and that you need to forgive yourself when it's not sitting in that perfect spot. Mm-hmm. There are going to be certain points in your life where you have to work more than spending time with family or on passion activities, but then there will be other times that will balance that back out by allowing you to spend more time with your family and on those passion activities. So recognizing that it is going to swing and forgiving yourself for when it's not working out. I wish I'd known that a lot earlier. That self-forgiveness is something that I'm still working on, and something that everybody likely works on for the majority of their life.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We talked about that throughout the episode, that you're not going to find that perfect balance either way. Maybe sometimes you'll feel bad that you're working too much, or maybe sometimes you'll feel bad that you're not working that much. It does swing back and forth that you can have it on both sides. I'm glad everyone's able to learn that today. Warren, thank you so much for joining. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much to Warren for coming on this episode. I thought it was a great conversation. I thought it was really interesting how he started in finance and left finance. And now here he is talking on a finance podcast about how we can have a better work-life balance. So I really hope you were able to take something away from today's episode. If you were, let me know. Shoot me an email or reach out on my website. Let me know what you were able to take away from this one. And if you're on Spotify, you can actually leave a comment right there, just like you can on YouTube. But let's get into the money talking points today. First one is, how is your work-life balance? Well, mine is pretty good, thankfully. What flags do you recognize in your work situation? What things do you recognize that make it not that great? And these flags occasionally come up in my job, not that often, thankfully, because I've set these boundaries. But make sure you're recognizing the flags that can come up in your situation. A couple of them are, do you have to answer emails too late? Is there pressure of a 24/7 availability? Do you have a clear cutoff time when you can stop working or not? I work remote, so it's an easy trap to fall into that I just come back up to the office, I start working, I check an email on my phone or whatever, and then I have to feel like I have to reply to it. It's such an easy trap when you work remote because it's very easy for me to turn my laptop on and get back to work whenever. And honestly, one of the ways that I manage that is by not going back into the room that I use as an office unless it's during my normal business work hours. And if I want to do something on my personal laptop, it's likely at the dining room table and not at my work desk. And that's very specific and strategic, because if I come back up here, I'm in a work mindset, and that may lead me to do more than I want to or not have a clear cutoff time if I'm coming up here at night or coming into the office at night, because then I might just work until I'm done with stuff, which could be forever because there's always work to be done. Especially if you're working a remote job, there's always people trying to reach you or work with you, and you can do it whenever because you work remote. So that's something you have to be very careful of with your work-life balance, is make sure you have a clear cutoff time, but also make sure you have a clear process around how you separate yourself from work. But that wraps us up for the first money talking point, which was, how is your work-life balance? Let me know. I'd love to know how yours works and how maybe some of the tips and tricks that I provided today maybe aren't quite what you're doing, but what are you doing to keep a good work-life balance? But let's move on to the second money talking point and figure out how we can have a better work balance. The second money talking point is, how can you have a better work-life balance? Well, the way to get going with this is to start slow. Don't go crazy all at once. You're going to realize that there are things that need to be changed, and that's okay, but start working on it over time. Don't go in with a fiery, no, I'm not going to do any of this, and throw a big fit or something and tell everyone to stop what they're used to. Take small steps towards a better balance and control, and don't expect it to be super easy, but do expect it to work. I have found that when you're honest and clear and willing to set those boundaries, it's almost always met with an okay and a willingness to make it work. And if it's not, it's likely going to be probably for a pretty decent reason. And if it's not for a good reason at all, that's a red flag. The other thing to know is that it's also likely that your bad work-life balance isn't actually an expectation for you. You may not actually be expected to check emails in after hours. It might have just been something you started doing. So now people email you whenever because they think you might reply instead of waiting till tomorrow or things like that, because you've set the expectation by naturally letting yourself eat into your personal time by doing work. And another thing to help with this expectation is notifications. Turn them off. Turn them off completely. I do not have notifications on for any mail app, including my work email, and I have not missed anything important over the last few years that I have had this. It often makes me wonder how people have email notifications on their phone when I see them pop up continually, because you can get spammed with emails from all sorts of different companies. I get so many emails from just random companies trying to reach me, trying to sell to me, things like that, that if I had my notifications on, it would be exhausting. Often I come back from a vacation or something like that, and you know, we all set those out of office alerts, and you come back from vacation, you're like, okay, time to catch up on my email. And most of those are useless. Most of those are absolutely unnecessary. Now imagine if you had notifications on your phone while you're on a vacation and you're getting these just unnecessary, unneeded, unwanted emails. That's going to continue to bog down your mind and make it so that you don't have a good work-life balance. So notifications, turn that stuff off. Turn it off completely for your work apps. And let's say there is an app like maybe Teams or Slack or whatever, one of those ones that you need to get messages through during specific times of the day and you want to actually see those messages because you are working after all, there are very likely quiet hours that you can set within all of these different apps that'll make it so that you're only getting notifications certain times of the day. Now make sure to use those features. And also, don't be afraid to ask people to reschedule meetings if they try to schedule a meeting that's outside of your work time. If they try to claim time that isn't work time, ask them to reschedule and say, no, actually, I can't do that. Don't try to make your entire personal life work around your work life. It should go the other way around. But also, like I said in the interview, there is a little bit of times where maybe we feel like we're not working as much as we should be. So maybe there are some opportunities to, I don't want to say give back, but maybe there are some opportunities to lend a little bit more time to work or be a little bit more lenient on letting maybe a big project that's coming up. When you really like your work, I think there is a good balance that you can strike with that, where you're giving a little more to work and then sometimes you're giving a little more to your life and your personal life. So learn how to find that balance and go back and forth between the two, because like we said in the interview, you're never going to find that perfect work-life balance that is seamless and consistent forever. It's always going to be changing and adapting. But now that you've thought about how your work-life balance is currently, how you can have a better work-life balance, let's move on to the last money talking point, which is, what does work-life balance mean to you? Let me know in the comments what work-life balance means to you, or on any of my email newsletters, just hit reply. I'm always happy to take emails there. So let me know what you think about this one. But if you're not getting my emails, you're missing out. There's some great extra content that I'm putting in these each and every week from the episodes that's distilled into a quick read about the money talking points from each episode. So I know you're going to like it. Head over to my website, moneytalkwithskylarfleming.com, and right there on the homepage, you can sign up for my email newsletters, or of course, the link is in the show notes. But to me, a work-life balance means that I have specific time set out for both work and life, for both everything goes according to work, and then nothing goes beyond that time period. When you have that simple framework and that structure set up, it makes both a whole lot easier and a whole lot more enjoyable. I enjoy working because I know it's stuck to this specific time period, and I value the time that I spend outside of work because I know that's time to spend on personal things. So make sure you have that set up so that one isn't creeping into the other. So your personal life isn't creeping into your work, or the other way around and your work isn't creeping into your personal life. Because you don't want either or. You don't want to be so focused on personal things you're not getting any work done, because then you might lose your job or something like that. But you also don't want to be so focused on work things that you're losing relationships with people. And the thing to be careful of is, once work starts to creep into our personal life, it is very difficult to go back, because then your productivity scales with the amount of time you're giving it. Then you become a more productive employee. You're working more hours, you're doing better, and they come to expect that. So when you have to scale it back and now you can't get as much done as you could before, now they think there's problems with your performance, even though the extra time you were putting in is what allowed you to get that extra production and extra benefit out of your work. So you have to be really careful there, because that can be a really hard thing to scale back. And the other thing that can be tricky there is, your work won't stop. There's always more work to be done. And if you're not careful about the balance, they're going to keep giving you more work. So you have to make sure to set boundaries and use the technology in your favor. Learn how to use quiet hours, learn how to use out of office alerts, learn how to use notifications, and especially turn them off. Don't turn on notifications. They're useless, quite frankly. If we're not setting specific times to check on things and we're being controlled by notifications, every single app, every shopping app, every productivity app is just going to keep bombarding you with notifications to distract you and keep your attention elsewhere. So turn off notifications. I'll mention that again, I'm sure, in the future, because I don't like notifications. Thankfully, my wife clued me into turning them off, and it's been a game changer ever since. The other key thing to think about with technology is to set your schedule in your Outlook calendar or your Google calendar or whatever calendar you may use. Set it to your appropriate time that you want to work. Say you work 9 to 5, set your meeting hours from 10 to 4. That way you're only taking meetings within that certain buffer, so you're always getting out on time. Because if someone schedules a 4:45 p.m. meeting and you're supposed to be out by 5, you're not going to be out by 5. But if your limit on availability is 4 p.m. and they try to schedule something at 4:30 p.m. and the calendar tool just says unavailable and you can't schedule it, then they're not going to be as shocked when you say, oh, can we reschedule this or can we do it a different time? Because your calendar is set up to build that in for you. So use technology to your advantage. It has a lot of great features that both suck our time away and pull our time away from our personal lives, but you can use these to benefit your work life as well so that you can find that work-life balance that we've been talking about in this whole episode. But let's wrap this all up next. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you to Warren for coming on and helping us all learn about how work-life balance is a pendulum and that we have to let it sway back and forth. We're never going to achieve that perfect balance, and that's okay. If you stress yourself out with perfection, you're going to ruin work and ruin your life for yourself. I found myself dealing with this when I was trying to set up a perfect productivity system. You know what? Some of it isn't going to be exactly how I want it, and that's okay. Some parts of my digital organization or whatever I'm trying to organize are going to be a little broken or out of whack or out of place, and that's okay. We have to realize it's all a balance. That's why it's called work-life balance. Sometimes one side is a little heavier than other, and then we can adjust and do better and continue to go back and forth. So I hope you were able to take that away from today's episode as well, because I know I learned a lot in that fact that everything sways back and forth and we're never going to find perfect working order for any sort of organization, balance, work-life, productivity, all that sort of stuff. But I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I know I did. And I want to tease some big news that I have in the pipeline. I think you're all really going to enjoy it. And I think it's going to help a lot with podcast growth. So be sure to subscribe, share with a friend, and go out and have a money talk. I know you're going to love what we have in store real soon. Thank you for listening to today's episode. The best way to stay up to date and connected with all things Money Talk is to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for my email list. Head over to moneytalkwithskylarfleming.com and submit your name and email right there on the homepage. You can also use the contact page on my website to send me any questions or comments that you might have. If you're looking to get started with budgeting, I've partnered with My Budget Coach, a platform that connects your budget directly to your financial coach. I'd love to work with you over there and help you with your budgeting. The link, of course, is in the show notes. Remember, the best way to learn from today's episode is to go and have a money talk about today's topic with a fellow money buddy. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.